You are listening to Vanguard Unpacked, a podcast produced by Vanguard Preparatory School in Dallas, Texas. Our purpose is to provide parents and caregivers with tools and strategies to strengthen relationships with their children and each other. Vanguard is a proud member of the Mensa Education Group.
Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Unpacked. I'm Patty Pickering, the head of school, and I'm here with Becky Hodnett, our Director of Admissions and Clinical Services, and Kevin Goodnight, our Director of Family Services and Staff Training. Welcome back, guys.
Hello.
Thanks. Hello. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think we want to talk about, what were we titling this? Resilience,
oh,
I think.
Yeah. You know, when we were in preparation or whatever and kind of talking about it, I have the privilege of getting to do the admissions here, as Patty said, and part of that process is I get to say, you know, what are your goals, right? What are your goals for your kiddo? Short-term, long-term, in a school setting. And it is with frequency that people will say, I just want my kid to be happy. And I get that, right? I'm a parent myself. I get that. But, you know, if everything we do in life is geared towards making our children or creating the environment around them as such that it's to make them as happy as possible, it's a slippery slope, right? Because there's no way we can be happy at all times, right?
Life is figured out how to make that happen.
It's not real.
It's not real. So I think what parents really mean or what they are asking for is, how do I help my child be able to tolerate uncomfortable situations? How do I teach them distress tolerance so that when those times come that they're not getting what they want or need, or, you know, or somebody says something or does something that's difficult or whatever it is, that they can write it out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And they have at least a reasonable amount of peace in the middle of all of that.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. And so we're talking about just being resilient, right?
Yeah.
And that's
right.
I think happiness is probably a byproduct of being resilient, because happiness is fleeting. It's not always there. But to be resilient, like what we teach our kids here at the school, is to make adjustments, right?
Right.
We're talking about making adjustments and then being able to recover. And so what that teaches our kids whenever they encounter some serious stress or serious challenge is, if I'm resilient, I can push through this. I can get to the other side of it and I can be okay. But what we see a lot of times, and I'm one of these parents, so please hear me. When I see my kid hit a hard spot in life or something that's challenging, I want to jump in there and fix it. I want to run up to the school. I want to go up to the whatever, and I want this to stop, and I want to make it better for them so that they can move through. But really, when I do that, if I stop and kind of analyze it and look at it, I'm not helping them to become resilient. I'm teaching them that I'm going to solve this for you and get you through it. And so one of these days when I'm not around to solve this problem or to make this better, then I've kind of taken away the skill from my kid to learn how to be resilient, how to make adjustments, how to recover from it, and then how to do it again. So how do you do that as a parent?
Right. Yeah,
right? How do you let your kid go through that?
The unintended message that you're sending is, I don't think you're capable
of
getting through this without me.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it's super uncomfortable though, right?
Oh, my gosh.
As a parent,
well,
when our kids are in pain.
I mean, we say this all the time, do as I say, not as I do as a parent, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
right.
But, you know, here, so that's kind of what we challenge ourselves and our kids, not our kids, sorry, our teachers and staff to do every day is, you know, there are 1,000 opportunities every day. You know, a student says, I just can't go to class today. I just can't, you know, I just can't do it. Man, I hear you, right? I hear you. You do not feel like you're in a place to go to class. What if you tried 20 minutes and then if it really still wasn't working, you know, I mean, or 5 minutes even for that matter, depending on the age and somebody's practice with distress tolerance. And oftentimes, 9 times out of 10, they're willing to meet you somewhere and try it. And then you see the confidence rise and you see they do have success and they did it.
They did
and
we go to class.
Yeah. You know, so, but it takes practice, right? Yeah. It takes practice to sit through and do the things that we don't want to do. Camp offers great examples of that.
Yes, it does.
We're getting ready for camp right now.
Yes, and, we are.
We were just talking about a story. It's a great example. We're talking about Goodnight. You want to?
It's such a great story. And so camp is hard. And right now we do camps for our lower school, our middle school, our high school, and Launch joins in. We have a couple of family camps that happen, and some really cool things happen. You know, one of the things that we say is have new experiences, and then you have new thoughts. And so it's challenging, though, right? And so this is a story about a kiddo that was actually in the middle school. This was last year's middle school camp. And the kid did not want to go to camp. The student didn't want to go to camp. And so parents were just like, oh man, we don't know what to do. They're really not going to go, like they're locking down. And we just said, it's going to be okay. Just get them up here, like get everything packed. And we're going to encourage this and we're going to do some hard things. And so they did that. The parents got them up here. And I mean, the kiddo kind of locked down in the car and refused to go.
Right.
But we got them into the van and we got to camp. It's a couple hours away. Tears, the whole thing. I mean, this is awful. I hate being outside. And so what we had to do as staff is just, we call it joining in. I know this is so hard, man. I have a hard time being outside too. It is kind of hot out there and this sort of stuff. So we get to camp and we hit the ground and we get unpacked. The first thing we do is go on a long hike, which is the last thing this kiddo wanted to do.
Right.
And so, but they did it. And so we're out on this hike and I mean, it's full blown falling down. and basically just sets down.
If I remember, it's a little warm.
It was warm. I'm sure there were bugs. I mean, you
it
know,
may have been even raining. Actually, was it raining?
Trees,
yeah, it was like trifecta. You want to have a hard time on a hike.
Stuff like brushing up against you. I mean, it is uncomfortable for everyone involved, right? And I love this kind of stuff, but for me, even it's like okay, you know. And we get out there, and the kiddo just kind of flops down, and I'm done. And I sit
and
down.
And did the whole group stop?
No, the whole group.
They
the
just
whole
kept
group,
going.
They kept trucking, and I stayed back. And I'm like, look, we can sit here, but it is going to get dark. They have food up at the camp. I mean, we're either going to have to walk out that way or turn around and go back the way we came. But we have to walk out of here, man.
Did you give choices? Did you say, do you want to go this way
and
or
that's,
that way?
That's what it's all about, right? So we're connecting through validation. I see you. I hear you. I know I am having a hard time with you. I know this is really difficult. And then the choice is, do you want to walk out that way or do you want to go back where we came from? You know, and I believe if I remember right, she wanted to move forward and actually catch up to the group.
Okay.
And so she chose that, and we stood up and started walking, and it was just like we caught up to the group, man. And then when we caught up to the group and her friends recognized that she made it back, they all kind of made a big deal about it and kind of celebrated with her.
Right.
And it turned into this thing that was really cool. Instead of just being a complete meltdown wreck, it actually turned into this really cool victory for this kiddo. And I have not let her forget that. Mm-mm. And so, you know, now I've used that story with this student at least a dozen times when hard things happen at school, when hard things happen at home, or I don't want to be in class. Hey, remember when we were on that camp? And she kind of look at me and kind of give me this little side grin, like, I'm not going to show you the full thing, but yes, I remember. You did it. You can do hard things. And so that's a really big deal. You want to talk about resiliency.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Great. And this year, I'm hearing some anxiety again.
It's the same.
Having to go back.
Yeah. But the same story. And so we'll revisit this, right? And so what does that teach our kids? Well, we know that whenever we hit stress, when our kids hit stress, their body remembers that. They remember what it feels like. Their brain remembers it. It may not even be a conscious thing, but whenever you hit these stressful moments, if you've learned I don't have to go through them, it's going to be hard to push yourself through. But when your body and your brain starts learning, oh, here it is, this is the hard thing, I can get through this, But you're not getting through it alone. You're getting through it with the teacher, with the parents. The right. adults are joining in with you. Like, it's not, we got to be real careful that we don't try to sweep our kids out of these really stressful moments.
Right.
Because they do involve some really uncomfortable emotions, maybe some tears, some crying, maybe even some, a little bit of physical acting out. But we stay in that moment. We encourage our kids to stay in that and get through it so that when they hit it again, they know I can work through this. And that's
exercising
why we.
Exercising a muscle.
Yeah, it is. And so we encourage them to go through these hard things. And our parents are really cool about this because a lot of times we'll just invite them in and say, hey, we're going to ask you to do something really hard. Let them go through it.
Right, right, right. And just tell yourself, man, this is good that this is happening now while they're in the ninth grade or 10th grade. Or like they're getting to do this and melt down and be in a safe place and practice this thing, and it can be as messy as it needs to be.
Yeah.
So y'all are talking about things that we see at school. What can you think? I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Can you think of things where, you know, maybe a kid goes home, has had a terrible experience at school, and as a parent, you're thinking, huh, I wonder what's going on up there. And your knee-jerk is to go up and talk to the school or get in the middle of something.
I've got one.
Oh.
Well, go.
Just popped into
go.
My head.
You're on the right now.
I don't want to step on anybody.
Yeah,
but this,
no.
So this, we've had this story happen several times where a kid doesn't want to get up in the morning. I'm not going. I'm not going to go to school. And maybe it could be anything. I'm having a hard time with this other kid or, you know, I feel like this teacher is kind of singling me out. The story that I'm thinking about, again, is a middle school boy. He was a big old kid, and he didn't want to come to school because he was having a really hard time with the teacher. And so I believe he was living with grandparents at the time, and grandma was just not, he doesn't have to go to school. He's having a really hard time. I'm not going to make him go up there. It's really, I think she was saying it's traumatic for him. And so what happened was I went and picked him up from home and got him to come back up to the school and then got grandma to come up to the school. And we sat down and talked about, you know, what's going on. Well, the teacher was requiring him to do work that he really, really didn't want to do. And so he wasn't allowed to do like go outside and have all this free time unless the work was done. And so, of course, he didn't want to come up here because he knew if I come up here to school, if I show up, I'm going to have to do work, and I'm going to have to do work before I do the fun stuff. He wasn't sharing all that with Grandma, but she just knew that something really hard was going on, and she wasn't going to force the deal because his past experience at school had been traumatic. And it had been a really hard thing, but we ended up having to go pick this kiddo up probably half a dozen times.
So was it work that was reasonable? Was there a reason he didn't want to do it? Was the work too hard?
It was challenging for him, and he didn't like to ask for help.
Got it.
Because it was really uncomfortable. I don't remember exactly if it was math or whatever, but it was just really hard for him, and he did not like sitting in that uncomfortable,
well,
like,
I mean,
can't
he
do
was
this.
In distress when schoolwork is hard sometimes, right? And you have to persevere and show grit and all those things. Those are, you know, that's an example of just a little thing all day, every day that we all do. We all face periods in our work where we get stuck or things like that. But when kids, particularly kid with a learning disorder or something like that, or, you know, attention is hard. And so he had developed some significant patterns, right, around avoiding it or whatever, and wasn't being asked to sit through it and work through it, right? He was trying to work his way around it, which oftentimes in life there is, you can keep trying to go around, but oftentimes the best thing for us and for the kids is to just go through it.
Yeah. And I've heard y'all say to parents before, after the kid has a hard day, do not let that child not come to school tomorrow.
That's right.
Not going to want to come. You have to get them here.
They have
because
to get here.
If they're able to do that, then that just sets up a pattern, a habit of.
And you can see when they go through these really hard times and that resiliency starts to happen, they get this confidence about them. You can just see it on them, like they know that they can do it. And so we see it all the time, right?
Yeah.
These kids have a hard time, but then, And we make adjustments for them. We don't just like cram it down their throat and you're going to do this. No, we ask them, what is it that they need? What do you want to happen? Well, I want to be able to do my work. And so sometimes as a school and as teachers, we adjust it so that they can do the work. If we need to cut that work in half, right. If we need to, you know, make it where it's more doable, we're going to set the bar and get where we need to go. But we want them to experience success. We want them to be resilient. And that means they do have to go through stress and some pretty significant emotions. And we let them go through that. And it teaches right. them, you can do hard things.
Right. So, okay. So before we wrap this up, though, and you may have made this point pretty clear, but I want to make sure we hit it because you mentioned goodnight, how we don't want to see our kids in pain. We don't want to see mm-hmm. them hurting. We want to take that away. So, I mean, Becky, maybe you can take this. When your kid is coming home, had a meltdown, I mean, it could have been any one of a dozen scenarios. Somebody was bullying them. Teacher was mean to them. I mean, whatever happened, and your kid is just having a meltdown. Mm-hmm. Walk us through the language that you use as a parent so that you're not trying to rescue them. You're not trying to take it away.
Yep. So it's so simple, but not easy, right?
Yes.
What we want them to know is that their feelings are real, that their experience is real, and that they matter, and that we care enough to listen to them. So I would literally position myself right, mm-hmm. Next to them, mm-hmm. Physically, right? So that it's a kind of, you know, goodnight referred to joining in earlier. This is another way to join in physically. I'm going to sit physically with them. I'm going to say, I'm going to validate their feelings, right? Mm-hmm. What we mean by that is we go, man, you are really upset, or that was really hard, or you seem frustrated, whatever the thing is. And if you're wrong, it's okay, because they'll correct you. Right?
Right.
So we're going to label the feeling, and they're going to tell me more about that, right? We want to hear from them. Tell me more, tell me more, tell me more.
As many details as possible.
As many details, right? Walking through it. Tell me more, tell me more. You're going to occasionally reflect it back. Man, that must have been really hard. You were having to do algebra, and you've never done algebra before.
Yeah.
And you know, math has always been your least favorite subject, and you're having to do that. And there were noises in the classroom, and if it was other people finished before you, and man, that was hard. That was, I would imagine that was a stressful time for you. Just that kind of stuff, right? We are just, it's not, you got this. No, it was okay. You know, Miss So-and-so is a good teacher.
She didn't mean that.
I'm sure it wasn't as hard as you thought. No. We want to validate their experience. And then, because really, at that point, they're in their feeling mind, right? If they're upset about it, they're in their feeling mind. So we validate that. They start to take some deeper breaths. Maybe they're feeling heard and not so alone. And then we come down, and then we can start talking about, well, what did you do? And did you finish the work? Man, that's fantastic. How did you do that? And we're actualizing it, and we're focusing more on our thinking at that point than feeling. I don't want to get too much into it, but it's really, we're going to physically sit with them. We're going to validate what they're feeling about it. And then we're going to ask them to tell us the story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I love that. And we were listening to a podcast recently. I was talking to Becky and Goodnight about where they were talking about how when you do that, they call it orienting to the child's experience. They're going to feel those feelings as adults. They're going to feel left out. They're going to feel not smart. They're going to feel all these icky things that we feel even when we become adults. And when they remember that feeling, they're going to it'll still be yucky, but they won't feel alone because you were present with them during those moments when they were a kid. And I think that's just so powerful.
It's huge.
I mean, you're not alone. I'm here. I'm with you. And it just, I mean, you just feel the resilience.
That's right. It's easier to do hard things when you don't feel like you're doing them alone.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we do at work, right? When I'm struggling with something, I walk up and I go, where's Becky? I need Becky. I mean,
Becky, this week she's been going, you're having such a hard week. I see how tired you are. And I love it. Yes. You're validating me.
Yeah, something happens inside, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I think that addresses it. Thank you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys that are listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Vanguard Unpacked. If you would like more information, please visit us at vanguardprepschool.com.